And welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather in God's presence on this day and offer him praise and thanksgiving for all of the things that God has done. A special welcome to those who are with us in the sanctuary this morning and those who are joining us online. It is our pleasure to welcome you to St. John's as well. Announcements are in the bulletin and we're flashing before you on the screen, so hopefully you had an opportunity to take a look at a couple of those, of all of those that are most important to you. I would like to highlight just a couple of things. Next Saturday evening, we will be having our fall supper here at St. John's, and if you don't have tickets yet, I don't know how you've avoided John Adams, but he is back there again this morning, and if you require a ticket, he will provide you with one. There's also sign-up sheets outside of the kitchen downstairs that if you have the ability to volunteer, we'd be grateful for the gift of your time. The food bank, our focus this month is rice and preferably the smaller bags, just because it's easier for them to give out without having to divide. So if you could bring gifts of rice, that would be nice. And we'll continue to collect those for a little while. And coming up on October 25th, the youth and intergenerational event, we're looking to go to Pumpkin Inferno at Upper Canada Village. And if you are interested in that, speak to Trish. She has all the details. I think we're kind of time sensitive on it just because it's a popular event and things do sell out, so speak quickly. And finally, we've been doing this for a couple of weeks, but we still have the membership information. Slips are at the doors as you come in, and they were emailed out a couple of weeks ago as well. If you could help us to keep up to date with all of your information by filling those slips out, we'd be most grateful. And finally, the session summary with Brenda.
Good morning. Session met on Tuesday, October the 8th at 7 p.m. Reverend Adams constituted the court with a prayer and a message based on Psalm 95, the Psalm of Thanksgiving. We are reminded of God's glory and we should rejoice in it. John Adams and Kempel Barath gave an update on the progress for the Harvest Supper. They're looking for volunteers for Saturday at 10 a.m. People willing to cook a turkey are also needed. Please speak to them if you're able to help. No Frills has donated 200 pounds of turkey, and Food Basics in the West End has donated 50 pounds of carrots and potatoes. Session will purchase a wreath to be laid at the cenotaph on Remembrance Day. Trish Brown reported for Faith and Nurture. This curriculum for Sunday school this year is called Spark. Please consider joining the intergenerational fun at Pumpkin Inferno on Friday, October the 25th. Please see Trish or Laura McFasen for more information. Reverend Adams will be on study leave from February the 5th to the 7th in Grand Rapids, Michigan for a conference on Calvin. Reverend Adams will like to sit down with a team to discuss benevolence and how we use the gifts we are given for that purpose. If you're interested in this, please speak to him. Thank you.
And as we enter into worship this morning, we light the Christ candle, as we do each week, as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world, and that we who are his faithful followers seek to walk by his light. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Come, let us sing to the Lord.
In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. Come, let us worship, bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care.
Let us pray. Giving and forgiving God, you created the good earth and blessed it. Give us glad and generous hearts, that we may rejoice and give thanks for the abundance of your creation, the depth of your mercy, and your care for all. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And as we come in worship this morning, we begin in praise, singing hymn 803, Come Ye Thankful People, Come, hymn number 803. Please be seated. Scripture tells us that God loves a cheerful giver, but we know how easy it is to be a cheerful recipient instead. It is harder to imitate the generosity of God. Let us now pray to God who can help us to let go of all things as we confess our sins to the Lord. God of the harvest, God of the gleaners, we are quick to thank you for the abundance of our lives. We proclaim ourselves blessed when we have enough food on the table, enough money to spend, enough people to share our days with, enough space to live comfortably. We are deeply grateful, but we think of these blessings as our own. We do not consider that we might share these blessings with others. Forgive our stinginess. Forgive us for thinking of ourselves as better than those who have less. Teach us that the truest thanks we can give you is to share our abundance with other beloved children of God. Amen. One of the indescribable gifts of God is the forgiveness that never ends. In gratitude, we will share. In gratitude, we will praise. Thanks be to God. Once more, let us turn in the book of praise to number 625, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. Number 625 in the book of praise, or as it appears on the screen. Thanksgiving is a special time in many of our households, and here in the church household at St. John's, it is the Sunday that we do the presentation of the Clifford McRae Award. And I would call on Trish to come forward and tell us a little bit about the award and to present it to this year's recipient. Trish is the, I don't know if Trish would fess up to being the convener of the Faith and Nurture Committee, but she's at least the one who helps get the ducks in a row. So.
Good morning and happy Thanksgiving. As Reverend Adams said, today we have a special presentation of the Clifford McRae Memorial Bursary. The Clifford McRae Memorial Bursary is awarded every Thanksgiving to a deserving student from St. John's who is going on to an institution of higher learning. Clifford was a CCVS teacher whose forte was special education. He would find work placement for his students all over SDNG and then visit and supervise them. His encouragement enabled them to become successful members of our society. He was a member of St. John's Session, and the tape cassette ministry was one of his passions. And just a little pause. For the younger folks, this is a tape cassette player. You can play, record, and so I will say my grandmother in her later years when she wasn't able to get out was a recipient of the tape and looked so forward to that every week to be able to tune into St. John's, and that continues in different ways now, kind of a trailblazer in the ministry and the technology department. So just thought I'd take a little pause. Thanks for providing the prop, John. He loved to visit and travel to Lancaster or Maxville or individual homes in Cornwall with his tapes for the elderly and the shut-ins who couldn't come to our worship services on a regular basis. He enjoyed participation in Bible study groups, participated at Presbytery meetings, and was truly a goodwill ambassador for St. John's. And there is a full biography written by Reverend Rennie, and is in the archives or can be obtained from John Adams. So thanks, John, for that information. The recipient of the bursary this year is Nico Forkiotis. Nico graduated from St. Lawrence High School. He is a familiar face at St. John's Church from Sunday school and youth group participation, to Christmas pageants, to participation in Cherishing the Children Choir, reading the scripture on Sunday, and beyond. He is in his first year of studies in health sciences at Ottawa University with the goal of becoming a medical doctor. So congratulations to Nico. And you can come on up, Nico. Congratulations, Nico. We do have Sunday school today. We're going to have a, right after the song, we'll go down.
And that is Clifford McRae on the screen. So we, as folks move into place, we have a pickup choir today for a bit of an anthem. So we're singing a hymn out of the Book of Praise. So if you want to follow along in the book, it's hymn 802. If you don't want to follow along, we're going to sing it anyway. Laura's teaching, so any young people who are here, if they want to go down to the Sunday school, Laura is going to go now, and you can follow her. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Sovereign God, let your word rule in our hearts, and your spirit govern our lives, until at last we see the fulfillment of your realm of justice and peace. We pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I think Julia is going to read scripture for us this morning.
Good morning, church. My name is Julia. I'm going to take you through the reading this morning. We start. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with flowing streams, with streams and underground waters welling up in valleys and hills. A land of wheat and berry, of vines and fig trees, pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey. A land where you may eat bread without scarcity, where you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and from whose hills you may pine copper. You shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinance, and his statutes that I am commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill, and you have built fine houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, an arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow for you from flint rock. He fed you in the wilderness with mammon that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and to test you, and in the end, to do you good. Do not say to yourself, my power, the mighty of my own hand, have gotten me this wealth. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors, as he is doing today. Psalm 65. Praise is due to you, O God, in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed.
O you who answer prayer, to you all flesh shall come.
When needs of iniquity overwhelm us, you forgive our transgressions.
Happy are those whom you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple.
By awesome needs, you answer us with deliverance. O God, our salvation, you are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas.
By your strength, you establish the mountains. You are girded with might.
You silence the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples.
Those who live at earth's farthest bounds are awed by your signs.
You visit the... Oh, sorry.
It's the morning and the evening shout for joy.
Sorry. You visit the earth and the water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the people with grain, for so you have prepared it.
You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth.
You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with riches.
The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy.
The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing joy for joy. They sing together for joy. The point of is the one who sows springly will also spring springly, And the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made your mind, not grateful or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seeds to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You shall be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgiving to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and by the generosity of your partnership with them and with all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for his incredible gift. There ends our reading. Thank you.
Once more, let us join our voices in praise as we sing hymn 457. Now thank we all our God, hymn 457, or as the words appear on the screen. Once more, let us listen for God's word, as it is given to us in Luke chapter 17, reading verses 11 to 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered the village, 10 lepers approached him, keeping their distance. They called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they?" Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." That's the end of the reading. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Listening to somebody else talk on that reading this week, they said the lectionary stopped too soon. So I was going to get carried away there for a minute. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Seeing as it's nice and cool here in the church this morning, I wish I had written a longer sermon because I would be assured that you would all stay awake this morning. The stories that we tell ourselves. Each of us has a story or a collection of stories, don't we? Those things that are uniquely our experience, those events and happenings in our lives that some way define who we are. There are a couple of slides, and I'm going to ask Roy to put the first one on. They're going to come fast and furious, Roy, so stick with me here. My grandmother, for a time, was a lighthouse keeper, taking over the position that she shared with my grandfather after he had died, with the support and the advocacy of the community in which she lived. That was part of my story. The next slide is the lighthouse. And one of my aunts was born in that lighthouse. And any time that a picture of the New London Lighthouse shows up on Facebook, you can bet somewhere in the comments there's a comment from my aunt saying, "I was born in that white lighthouse." It's part of her story. My other aunt. Next slide, Roy. My other aunt remembers how she and my father made their public profession of faith in Getty Memorial Church. My mother's siblings all remember my father as always wearing a suit or a sports coat. And it took a long time after he retired from work. Now, there's a reason that they probably mostly always saw him wearing a suit or a sports coat. It's because we visited my grandparents, where we usually interacted with everybody else in the family, on Sunday afternoon after church. We'll get there in a second. So there is a reason that he was always dressed like that, but that's not really the reason. He always wore one. It took years after he retired from work before we could get him to leave the house without going to get a sports coat to put on. He liked the pockets for the storage, by the way. "Where am I going to put my checkbook if I don't have a coat on?" was his usual response. But my father always dressed in a suit when he went and tie when he would go to church. He always believed that you give God your very best. And I remember helping my mother learn to tie a tie when Dad could no longer do it for himself. He would never think of going to church without a tie on. And neither would I. The stories of our lives shape us and how we interact with the world. Those are some of the stories that travel with me. I'm sure you have an equal collection of people and places that resonate for you and in some way define who you are and how you relate with others and the world. On Thanksgiving Sunday, we often turn to the book of Deuteronomy in Scripture and a couple of particular stories because they are important stories. They are stories that shaped the children of God then and down through history to this very day. To put the story into context, this story that we heard from Deuteronomy this morning is the culmination of everything that has happened in Scripture up until Deuteronomy chapter 8. The story of the creation and the fall. The story of the covenant that God makes with Abraham and Sarah and their descendants after them, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. The time that Israel spent living in Egypt and the Exodus wanderings that brought them out of oppression and into freedom. All of these events are part of the narrative arc that lead us to this very day. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And these very words uttered by Joshua to the children of God once they had taken possession of the land. What's more, these words may actually have been part of one of the first worship celebrations that we have recorded in Scripture of the people of God. This text is not just a story of our Thanksgiving services. It may well have been the words that they recited as they gathered to give thanks to God for His goodness thousands of years ago. This reading from Deuteronomy chapter 8 might well be summed up with one word. Remember. Remember God's promises to Abraham and Sarah to give his descendants a land. Pardon me, to give him descendants and a land. Remember the hardship of Egypt and the perils of Exodus. All are noted in this text. Remember how God has protected you through all of these things. Remember that the land you now possess, this land of richness and plenty, is the proof of God's faithfulness. God has given this to you. The promise in the text is found in verse 10. It's quite simple. You shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God for the good that he has given you in the land. But there is a warning that is equally as simple in verse 17. Do not say to yourself, my power and my might of my own hand has gotten me this wealth. You see, Joshua and the other leaders of the community of the people of faith recognized that the biggest danger faced by the children of God as they entered the promised land was not that they would be tempted to follow the various religions of the peoples who had possessed the land before them. No. But rather, the danger was that once they had become prosperous, once life was easy, they would become lukewarm in their own faith. That once they had received the blessing, a blessing for which their ancestors had waited for so long, once they had received that blessing, they would lose sight of their dependence upon God and begin to think that they had earned all of these things by the power of their own arm and by the sweat of their own brow. And how much? I was on a roll until my tablet did otherwise. And how much is that not also a reality in our own culture in our own day and age. In reflecting upon the idea of gratitude, the Christian author and researcher Diana Butler Bass noted that she had uncovered in research that American men are uncomfortable with the concept of gratitude. Now, she wrote this about 7-8 years ago. But I think you're going to find in the next 30 seconds what she has to say is prescient for today as well. That American men are uncomfortable with the concept of gratitude. Being strongly indoctrinated in the importance of being self-made, they find it an insult to be told that they didn't accomplish their feats all by themselves. No one gives me anything, Bass said, illustrates this sentiment. I do it myself. That's what is a prized narrative in our culture. It's a cultural narrative, and it has an impact where our understanding gratitude is. The stories that inform our lives. And it's true, isn't it? We all want to believe that we are in control of our own destinies. We all want to believe that all that we do and all that we have is the result of our own intelligence and ingenuity and ability. But as soon as we fall into this temptation, we remove our dependence on God from our lives and we cease to be people of thanks. The simple little lesson from this passage in Deuteronomy for us today is that our gratitude does not come naturally. It is a learned behavior. As the children of God remembered the gracious acts of God who led the people out of the promised land, who provided them with food, who gave them this good land, they were guarding against selfishness and developing habits of gratitude. For each successive generation, this has been the source of their rejoicing. From the stories of bread in the Exodus, to Jesus feeding the crowds. From the bounty of our own tables to the mystical feast of bread and wine that we celebrate at the Lord's table, to the idea and the image of the marriage feast of the kingdom of God for which we all await. The God who provides is always with us, giving life and freedom to all. And it is this assurance that allows us to live lives of gratitude. Lives of gratitude like that one leper who returned. For at its heart, gratitude is the acknowledgement that we are not responsible for what we have or what is happening in our lives, but that everything we enjoy is a gift from God, given to us because God is faithful. And gratitude then opens the door to generosity. If we allow our lives to be defined by our acquisitiveness, then it becomes far too easy for us to look at others and say, well, I got mine. They should go out and get theirs too. Rather than looking upon them with Christ-like love and finding ways that we can share what we have with them. The tradition of the children of God that we learn here in Deuteronomy is the concept of first fruits giving. To take the first portion of the harvest and not hold on to it until the harvest was ended because the rains may come or hail may beat down the crop. But to give it first, knowing that God is faithful. And the God who has blessed us in the past will continue to bless us in the future. We all have our stories. One of the stories that I have in my life from growing up as a young person, the house in which we lived was surrounded by potato warehouses. So about now, maybe a week's time, things would get really, really busy. In fact, we shared a driveway with one of those potato warehouses. For 11 months of the year, it was like it was our own driveway. For 1 month of the year, we parked on the grass, and there would be eight or more potato trucks lined up down the driveway waiting to get into the warehouse to unload. 6 days a week, maybe 24 hours a day, the warehouse behind us was in full operation until 12 o'clock on Saturday night. And at 12 o'clock on Saturday night, everything went silent. And it stayed silent until 24 hours, 1 minute later. I'll never forget it. But Lewis Brothers would stop their operation for 1 day for Sabbath so that they could go to church and so that all of their workers could go to church too. Talking with now son of those same Lewis Brothers, just eight or so years ago, when we had to figure out how we were going to solve this problem of maybe my parents should own the driveway before we sold the house. So I went over to the warehouse one day and I talked to Scott, the son, gentleman now about my age. And I recollected with Scott that I always remembered that the warehouse went silent. And he said, we always went silent, even after Dad and Claude passed away. Because, he said, if it's so bad that you have to have the work on the Sunday and have the warehouse in operation, it doesn't matter. If it's so bad that you need to be working on Sunday, it's bad enough that you can take Sunday off too. You're not going to make that big a difference. And it also provided for rest for the workers who worked so hard in that condensed amount of time. As we gather this weekend around table with family and friends, as we consider how we will support the work of our church in the coming year, let us remember the blessings that God has given us. And let us seek to live lives that reflect God's providential care, which is poured out to us all. Let us give the first fruits of all of our labors to the Lord, knowing that God promises that God will continue to be faithful to us, and that we know God is faithful. And that through the gifts that we give testimony to the world of the goodness of our Lord. Will you not give glory by sharing what you have received from God in grace and in gratitude? Remember, in all things, give glory to God. Amen. Our affirmation of faith this morning is a unison reading. It comes to us from the Presbyterian Church USA in a confession that they composed several decades ago. We read about gratitude as we say together. Life is a gift to be received with gratitude, and a task to be pursued with courage. People are free to seek life within the purpose of God, to develop and protect the resources of nature for the common welfare, to work for justice and peace in society, and in other ways to use their creative powers for the fulfillment of human life. Amen. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Let us offer our lives to God as we present our offerings. Let us pray. God of the harvest, you are continually planting the seeds of your love in our world and in our lives. As we bring you our gifts this day, may they be seeds of your grace and peace and hope, planted deeply in our community, yielding fruit to those who live in need. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A special thank you, because her name's not in the bulletin or on the slides, but a thank you to Julie for playing her violin this morning. She came home from university and her mother put her straight to work getting prepared for today to share her talents with us. And we're very pleased that Julie's been with us and helping in the leadership of worship. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Kind and generous God, we give you thanks for the harvest. We pause to praise you for all those things, both great and small, which fill our lives with meaning and offer us a sense of your well-being. merciful God. Generous is your nature. We give you thanks for the harvest of the earth, for how you show us how to live respectfully with creation and protect all that is precious to us. In a year when harvests vary across our country and around the world, show us how to share what has been produced so that no one goes hungry. Just and generous God, we pray for the well-being of your world and our own community. Where there is hostility between nations or neighbors, inspire leaders to show wisdom and courage in decision-making. We pray for areas hard hit by flood, storm, fire, and earthquake, and for all those struggling in an uncertain economy. Especially today, we are mindful of the citizens of North Carolina and Florida and other places as they seek to recover from devastating hurricanes. May neighbors with resources maintain generosity and compassion for the long work of reconstructing lives and livelihoods. Healing and generous God, we pray for those facing health challenges or difficult times for any reason. And we pray for family and friends under stress or in sorrow, whom we name now in the silence of our hearts. Lord, give us patience and understanding as we draw near to them and help us to reach out with compassion. Gracious God, in Jesus Christ, we have met your generosity and of love and mercy, and through our lives and by our prayers, reveal his love and mercy in this generation. For it is in his name that we offer the prayer he taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is number 338 in the Book of Praise. Let all things now living, hymn number 338, or as it appears before you on the screen. let us go forth into the world, seeking to love and serve the Lord in all that we do. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.